Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Happy almost summer. We just really got into spring, but it feels like summer now in Atlanta. I am your host, Professor Jamila Franklin, and this is Higher Consciousness, and we've been on the air since 2012. The show deals with metaphysical and spiritual alternatives to what's going on in your life, and we offer holistic solutions. This is not a religious talk show, and it's a show designed with you in mind, and we welcome you to the show and to ask questions. It was formerly a two-hour show, but it is now a one-hour show, so please feel free to call in. A little bit about me. I am a certified Reiki master, a certified aromatherapist, a certified metaphysician, a college professor, a practicing clinician in terms of mental health, an award-winning author, and I do quite a few things, but those are things that come to my mind immediately. And I have my own practice in energy healing. I do energy transformation and energy releasing and emotional releasing using the emotion code. There's no one who does it is exactly the way that I do it. So our topic this evening is excellent for anyone who's encountering PTSD to look at having some different alternatives to deal with stress, because the traditional alternatives are not really working. So if anyone is interested in finding out more about me, you can call me at 770-882-7347. If you desire to have a holistic, different release in your life that is permanent and that is energy-based, you can feel free to call me or look me up. You can Google me at Jamila Franklin, Professor Jamila Franklin, J-A-M, like in Mary, E-L-A, J-A-M-E-L-A, Franklin, F-R-A-N-K-L-I-N. My website is oyendeenterprises.com, but because it's such a long website, I tell people just to Google me, and everything will come up. And I will give you my contact information again. So if you're looking for a holistic alternative to traditional therapy and one that's effective and that works permanently, think about giving me a call, okay? But please check out my information first so you can know exactly what I do, and I look forward to talking with you if you're interested in having transformational healing. Tonight we are going to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. We talked about it 2 weeks ago, and one of my favorite people on this planet, who is a former student of mine from Argosy University, where I used to teach before they closed it down, is now the guest this evening. She's a phenomenal clinician. And so I'm going to give you more information about her now. Christina Thompson, a master's level clinician in psychology, helps her clients clean and clear the negative emotional and mental mirrors within through a thoughtful process of mediation. Not meditation, mediation. She does meditation too. But mediation is different. Reflection and self-examination. Ms. Thompson helps her clients understand that the emotional, mental, and physical images that they have embraced and have internalized are not a reflection of who they truly are. Rather, these negative images are only reflections of the events that happened to them. Hence, PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder. With careful, compassionate therapy and energy work, these traumas can be healed. So, without further ado, what I'm going to do is bring on Ms. Thompson. And if you're interested in talking with Ms. Thompson or sharing your views about post-traumatic stress disorder, and later on we're going to talk about post-traumatic slave disorder. I mentioned both of those 2 shows ago, but tonight we're going to focus on post-traumatic stress disorder. So if you're interested in talking with her or talking with me, please feel free to call in at 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, call in at 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. So tonight we're going to talk about a lot of the things that have been happening here on the planet, particularly in America, with the previous person who sat in the building called the White House. I don't even call his name, because to call people's names when they are functioning at a low vibrational energy, they like that. This person loved being in the limelight, and I'm asking people, why are you still talking about this man? He is a non-entity. He thrives on that like a maggot. So I'm not going to mention the name because it's irrelevant, but that energy still lingers on. The racism, all of those isms are still lingering in the air, and is causing post-traumatic stress disorder. For 4 years, people were under siege, regardless of race, because you never knew what that guy was going to do, because he was a classic narcissist. So you never knew if he would push the button to start a war. He was just completely unhinged. So people now are coming down off that. But people of color are not, because they're now using us as target practice, and people are still experiencing a lot of trauma. And they, some of them, and some of you may not know how to deal with that. And as I said, my sessions, my therapy energy sessions, having been a clinician for over 30 years, I saw that that was not effective and it wasn't working. But there are some clinicians out there who are still using those techniques, and they're very good at diffusing the trauma. So Christina is one of them. And hello, Christina, how are you?
Hi, good evening. I'm fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Okay.
I'm fine.
So,
how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, doing very well. So I want you to talk about your experiences. I gave people a brief synopsis, but talk about what you are experiencing, where you are in your setting, the ER and all of that. So just bring people up to speed about that, because I think your work is just phenomenal. I consider you one of the essential frontline workers, not in terms of providing products like Amazon, but providing services for mental health. So just give us a day in the life of Christina.
In the life of Christina. Okay, so primarily I do work in trauma. I work in the emergency room. I've been doing it for 6 years, and I've worked with all types of traumatic cases, exposures people have had. And I think for the most part, trauma is not—it's not something that happens and then goes away. It is one of those things that has a very long-term impact on one's life, and and that's why I like that dealing with the healing code and the PTSD, because once you identify that you may have been affected, impacted, and injured by a traumatic experience, most people go 20, 30, 15, 10 years of their lives without understanding that there is a way to heal. And we have never talked in this culture about healing. Everything has either been get over it, do some CBT, RBT counseling, which is cognitive counseling, behavior counseling, but very few venues have been open to really dealing with the deeper part of trauma. And so the deeper part of trauma goes directly to the soul of a person.
Mm.
You know, it goes to their spirit, to that that makes them feel worthy of their own existence. And when a person is traumatized, it strips that from them. You know, it jeopardizes, it compromises that. It puts so much doubt in their soul because they cannot understand that deep feeling of loss, fear, shame, or guilt.
Mm.
And so those are some of the components that come along with trauma. Shame, guilt, fear, and loss.
Mm.
And that is something that you can experience at 5 years old, and you can experience at 65 years old, or 95. Mm. So it spans the whole lifespan. Most of the time, working in the ER, I come across people who just either try to kill themselves, want to kill themselves, attempt to kill themselves, or are addicted to some type of substance or something that is making their life dysfunctional, uncontrollable, and just unlivable, unbearable for them, so where they just want to give up. For the most part, the DSM, which is the Holy Bible for the mental health profession, it describes post-traumatic stress disorder as something that is directly impacted by some type of exposure to a threatened death, a serious injury, or sexual violence. There are different criteria in the DSM. They go from A, B, C to D. Well, A is the top tier, so that is the most intense form of descriptive of PTSD. However, there are other underlining categories of PTSD that are also inclusive of, like I was saying, shame, guilt, fear, traumatic events that manifest themselves in flashbacks,
mm.
or nightmares, or dreams, or just reactions to other people, or being isolated, or being an introvert. There are so many ways that trauma manifests itself in your life. So I'm glad, because when I was younger, I was amongst people who practiced healing that was not medicinal. It did not come from the pharmaceutical industry, so it was not supported, and it was looked at very negatively. However, I did see a lot of people who had deep-seated trauma, soul trauma, go through, you know, the untraditional method of healing and get better, come to a place where they were able to function and make peace with the trauma. So, you know, PTSD, it's very real, because what happens is it gets stuck in the brain, in the danger part of your brain, you know, which is the part where we handle fear and emotions, which is the amygdala. So that's where PTSD mostly, you know, lives. Right there in that part where all our fears and all our emotions are. And what happens is that it sends out stress signals. You know, it sends out stress signals. Anytime something happens, maybe you're fearful, you may lose your job, or maybe you did something wrong with your parents, and you think, oh, I'm going to get a beating. So it's constantly active. It's not something that's dormant. It's the only thing that's dormant about trauma is the actual moment. You know, we find a way, the brain finds a way to protect us by securing that, hiding it, repressing it, so that we don't have to be confronted with it every single moment of the day. But if something triggers something that caused that same emotional feeling when that trauma happened, then it will instantly come up. But sometimes it could be 10 years or 15 years from now, and you'd be like, why am I feeling this way? Let me get a pill. Let me go to the doctor and get a pill, you know, to help with this anxiety, or to help with this, you know, depression, or, you know, something to help me sleep. And so, and the pills, they help temporarily, but at the end of the day, the pills are not going to get to the problem, which is the initial trauma that really, the trauma of the moment, that the trauma hit, the moment of the danger, the moment of the fear, the shame, or the guilt. And that's why I like linking the PTSD to the healing code.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way to really, and I'm going to use the word manage, the only way to really manage trauma and to overcome trauma is to find a way to heal that initial danger, that initial
mm-hmm.
attack, or that initial fear of guilt.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've done an excellent job in terms of really defining it in a clinical and using layman terms, because I think sometimes people hear these terms and they don't know how to relate to them, even though they are experiencing mm-hmm. them, because people are talking at them and not breaking it down like you did. You did an excellent job, because the healing code, which is the system that I use, that I created, that you gave me the name for, thank you very much, all the things that I do, is very appropriate for someone who is going through these kinds of traumas. So if anyone would like to share his or her story or contribute in any way, feel free to call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1 and talk to Ms. Thompson, who is an excellent clinician. I taught her when she was at Argosy, and I was impressed with her, because the thing that I know about her is that she's an excellent diagnostician. She's able to diagnose. I know people who are PhDs and MDs and whatever, and some who are psychiatrists and whatever, but they're not excellent clinicians in terms of being able to diagnose and be able to really relate to their clients. They call them patients because they're in that medical framework. And so when you see them as a patient, then there's a very different kind of dynamic that you are experiencing versus seeing them as a client. Those are two different kinds of energies. So, and it's not that one mm-hmm. is better than the other. It just means it's a different kind of energy. When you're dealing with a patient, you're dealing with them as being, it's a Freudian term, you see them as being sick. And as a client, it means that something, a trauma happened to take them off their course, but there is healing there, because prior to the trauma, usually, not in all cases, but usually the person was relatively healthy and the trauma threw them out of whack, and that's more of a holistic Rogerian, Carl Rogers kind of philosophy, or Jungian kind of philosophy, and they really borrowed that. Jung studied different religions in the East and came up with his paradigm. So he took it from Asian and Middle Eastern and African traditions, because he studied them, you know, yoga and all that other stuff, and came up with his philosophy, even though he didn't give them credit for it. People knew where he got it from. So give us a story in which you've had to intervene with someone whom you knew was experiencing PTSD, particularly people of color, because I think what's happening in our community, people used to say, don't talk about it. Whatever goes on in this house stays in this
mm-hmm.
house.
Right.
And you are as sick as your secrets. So as long as you keep harboring
mm-hmm.
secrets, you can't get well. And children were traumatized because they knew something was wrong and off, but their parents would beat them if they told what was going on. And then for a lot of the children, particularly girls who were being raped and molested, no one would believe them, and people would blame them. I've heard stories of people 50, 60 years ago when girls were blamed when men in the family raped them, which was a traumatic thing. You being assaulted twice. Three times, physically, sexually, and then mentally by your own family. So now the thing now within the black community, black, you know, if you're coming from the continent of Africa, from the Caribbean, from here is for people to see mental health as a serious issue. And that's my concern now. I'm beating that drum. And a lot of my clients, they're not patients, a lot of my clients said that the traditional talk therapy has not worked for them. And they've turned away from that because it hasn't worked for them, even though they've had some, the quote-unquote, best, because after a while, it comes back because they're still dealing with the energy of the trauma. But let's talk about what you've seen in the emergency room, in the ER, and because you're not within the Greater Atlanta area. You're further south. Are you further south?
I was in the Greater Atlanta area, and I don't want to, call out
identify.
What I worked for, but I've worked out, in Greater Atlanta area. I worked out in the North Georgia area. I worked out in the South. I worked all over a lot of different places in Georgia, different places in the country. I was working in community college when the AIDS and crack epidemic hit. So I've been in different areas of trauma. So this is
okay.
It's just
and all have been the same. Yeah.
They have now. What's happened now is that since I have finally learned my own trauma and my own healing code to manage my own trauma, I'm able to identify. Like it's an instant now. It's very easy for me now to be able to pinpoint a person's trauma. It's like a person, like a doctor going in to find a tumor in someone's brain or something. They know exactly when they look into that laser, into that, screen, that what they're looking at. So a lot of times with trauma, one of the biggest obstacles is secrets, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm sitting in a room with a family that their child has just cut themselves, their arms and legs are sliced up from cutting, because patients, when they become overwhelmed or frustrated, use cutting as a method to release. So they're sitting up there, arms all cut up, and they've just taken 25 Zoloft and 15 Ativan and a whole bunch of medicine, and had to be Narcan, which is what they use to bring a person back when they're not unresponsive. And you get them in the room, and you're in there with the mother and the father. Or sometimes it'll just be the mother, but there are times when you have both parents in there, and the child is looking at me with fear in their eyes, because I'm asking the child, "Well, are you suicidal?" "No, no." But they have black charcoal all over their mouth from having to be, revived, and so the parent is over there with this look like, "Don't you say nothing," and so that intimidation, and that fear just pushes down and represses the trauma even deeper. And so what you have to do, then most times I will ask the parent if it's okay if I see their child alone, And that's when the child will tell me the truth. They will tell me, I just can't live with my parents anymore because they're so angry and they're so unhappy. And if I'm going to be unhappy and angry when I get that age, I'd rather die now. Mm. And so I'm saying, so it usually goes back to our caretakers. And if you go and honestly, PTSD is as old as mankind, I guess you could say, because if you go back 400 years to the inception of slavery and the chattel slavery, could you imagine the trauma, the legacy of the trauma, the inherited trauma? I mean, this is very deep. And the thing about it is, no one wants to talk about it. And the first time that it really became a buzzword was when so many soldiers were coming back from war and they were killing their families. They were killing their wives and children, and they didn't know why these soldiers were going off the rails this way. So that's when PTSD got such a platform. But prior to that, it was very real, but no one talked about it, because in order to talk about PTSD, you have to expose the assailant. You have to expose the people who are actually committing the crimes of shame, guilt, fear, attack, and danger. You have to, and those can sometimes be your parents. Those can be your caretakers. Those can be your coaches, your teachers, your preachers.
Yeah, that is so true. And in traditional psychology, they call them the IP, the child, the identified patient. They make the child the cause of the problem. If Johnny would just act right, everything would be fine. No, Johnny is basically mirroring the dysfunction within the family. And so they all point to Johnny and say, Johnny is the issue. Whenever I've dealt with families like that, I always would tell them, you have made this person, and I don't like to use the word patient, but I use it in terms of that system, because that's family systems, that you've made Johnny the identified patient within his group, and Johnny is not the real issue. There's something very, very deep, systemic, usually intergenerational, that's going on within the family, and Johnny is just a scapegoat in so many words. But we have someone who would like to share. Just okay, 5387, your name, please, if you'd like to share, and you're on the air.
Well, I'll say my name is Louisa.
Okay.
I realized today, like, when I was thinking about PTSD, like, I had surgery for endometriosis, like, 2 years ago, and I went to the dermatologist today to, like, talk about, like, my scarring, and I realized how much pain it brought me to think about how the doctor botched me. And I went to a black female dermatologist, and she was very, like, she wasn't really friendly about it. Like, she was defending the doctor instead of trying to help me out with my, you know, incision. I don't know. So it was kind of hard for me to cope with. And I realized that, like, sometimes people have gone through so much, like, traumatic experiences that they have multiple cases, like, of different things that cause them to have, like, extreme PTSD. I would believe, like, I don't know if that's a term, but, like, can that be possible to have, like, multiple things?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's not just triggered by one thing. And I think Christina talked about that. Christina, do you want to address that as well?
So can you just say that last part again? You were saying that you were impacted. Can you say that again, please?
Part would you like me to share again?
So can you just refresh me what you were saying? It was breaking up a little.
Well, I had surgery 2 years ago for my endometriosis, and the doctor botched me.
Right.
So I went to a dermatologist today.
Okay.
I went to a black dermatologist, and I was telling her about my concerns of, like, how I feel insecure in my body because I have these scars. And she was very, like, mean to me. Like, she was defending the doctor, saying that a provider wouldn't even try to do that intentionally. But I had a really bad experience with the doctor. And it's like, and I was telling also, I was just mentioning that, can you have multiple cases of, like, you know, dramatic experiences that affect you? Like, I don't know.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's a ripple effect. It's like throwing a pebble into a pond, you know, and you see that first little circle it makes, and then before you know it, the whole pond is rippling. And that's what PTSD is like. You could have one assault at one point, like you said, when you had the surgery and your doctor botched you. That was traumatic. But that was something because doctors are supposed to be, I'm sorry.
And I cried about
yeah,
it. I didn't think it still bothered me, and I started crying in front of the doctor. I just couldn't believe that it was still affecting me.
And the thing is, you're good because some people, it affects them so bad that you can't even go back to a doctor. They don't trust doctors at all. Like, you know, after that one experience, they'd rather suffer through many types of illnesses before they ever go back into a doctor's office. Because not only was their trust, you know, violated, you know what I'm saying, but their self-esteem, their self-worth, you know. And then if you speak about it, you're not supposed to speak to a doctor ever because he's a doctor and he's just like this all-looming, powerful thing over you. But here you are, everything that you know, that you held secure has been shattered. That's trauma. You know, and then you reach out to another doctor and she defends the doctor, not even knowing, you know, not even taking into account that it took a lot of courage for you to even come to another doctor and say, can you help me? A lot of times professionals, they're so emotionally, today professionals are so emotionally detached, and I see it all the time in the ER. It's horrible. I work in a hospital. I would probably waste away at home before I would go to a doctor because they're so emotionally detached now, you know? So what you're feeling is real. What you're feeling is true. And the way to overcome that is to start working on the healing code, because you have to find a way to look at this trauma, which is real, you know, which has impacted your self-esteem, your self-worth, everything about you as a female, you know, how you wear your clothes, when you wear your clothes, how you take your clothes off. If you take all of those things, you know, play into the experience you've had. But, of course, mm-hmm. they just see you as, you know, oh, you're just whining, you know.
Yeah,
and
And I'm going to say another issue, like when you're a woman of color, it's kind of hard to get, like, the proper health care. Like,
absolutely.
They're very suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very hard. And so, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And what I would do if I were you, I would reach out to that dermatologist. Was it a woman of color or
It was a woman of color. Like I just haven't had good experiences with like white doctors. So I've looked for more color,
yeah.
like
and that's important. And I'm gonna tell you, like when I'm in the ER and I see a patient, I've seen so many black patients who when I close that door, they sigh a relief and they say, thank you for being here. Because there is not enough representation of us for us. And so we get mistreated, we get misdiagnosed, and so many things happen. But if I were you, I would write a letter to that doctor and I would share my experience with her. Because it takes each and every patient to change the other person's perspective and their soul on what they've been ordered to do, what they've been charged to do. She's been charged to work in a profession that takes whatever people's distortions of themselves are and help improve on them. So she took whatever you felt that you needed assistance with, and she just made you feel worse. She needs to know that. See, patients don't realize that you all have the power, but because we don't know how to use it, we haven't been taught how to use it, we let them overpower us in their behavior towards us. I would write her a letter, nothing nasty. I would write her a very heartfelt letter. I was happy to know that I had found a person of color or African American woman in this field, and I felt so excited coming to you. However, the way you approached me after I told you about my trauma from the botched surgery, you know, really brought up more trauma for me. It could be just like that and let her know, I hope in the future that you consider your clients before you dismiss them.
Mm-hmm.
That simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll give you back your self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it'll give you back your self, some level of self-worth to you, and it'll give you, it will empower you, and maybe she'll understand that she took the wrong approach.
Mm-hmm. And even if she doesn't call her, even if she doesn't, because sometimes people's ego will get in the way, and they, rather than hearing the message, they try to shoot the messenger. This is more for
mm-hmm.
you, because what Ms. Thompson has laid out has been absolutely an excellent way to handle it. But this is more cathartic for you. It's like carrying that around within your psyche. That's the reason why the healing code that she's talking about, which is part of what she's doing and I do in my practice, is more effective, because we get to the heart of it through different energy sessions. We get to the heart of the pain, because that's just one of many things that probably are within your energy field. But even if she doesn't respond the way that you would like, because she has, in order for her to have responded that way, she has a lot of trauma herself. There's something going on, because
exactly.
when you really love yourself, you don't respond to people in that manner. You just don't. So she has something going on within herself, but that's not your responsibility to carry around her pain, which came out in her being abusive, emotionally abusive. But it frees you up, because you now say, okay, I now advocated for myself. Whether or not she responds favorably,
exactly.
at least I've spoken up for the little girl within me. I'm going to advocate
yeah.
for her, because that person with these surgeries, no one has advocated for her. I'm going to step up
mm-hmm.
and advocate. It may not be well received,
but that's
okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to know that's the crossroads we're talking about tonight, the PTSD and the healing code. That's where you're at. You're at that crossroads, you know, with the trauma and the process of healing. You know, and so what we're giving you is a code to help you heal that experience of that botched surgery, and then a continual, you know, attack on that on your emotions, on how you felt, and all these. So, like Professor said, not all the letters we write will be received, but we write them for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's with anything. I tell people. Some people, when you ask for forgiveness even, some people will say, well, I'll never forgive you. We go in not focusing on the other person, but focusing on ourselves. When we advocate for ourselves, then the little person within us, for most of us, no one advocated for us when we were little, for a lot of us. We are now, as adults, advocating for that little child that no one stood up for. And so for the first time in our lives, we can say no. That was unacceptable. And usually when you say no to an abusive person, emotionally abusive, physically abusive, sexually abusive, mentally abusive, they don't receive it well because they've gotten away with it for so long, but it's not even about them. So it's about us by saying, okay, I'm taking a stand, and I guarantee you, the more you stand up for the little you, because I've done that throughout my life, people didn't like it, but that's their thing, okay? And I tell people, your response doesn't have anything to do with my healing. So the healing code, the system that Ms. Thompson is alluding to that I practice, gets to the heart of it. It takes more than one session, but you start healing from the soul, like she said so very, very poignantly, in terms of talking about what that doctor did, the dermatologist and the other people did. It was an affront to your soul. So when people do things like this, those are affronts to our soul. And so dealing with it cognitively doesn't heal it, because that's not where the injury is. The injury is at, Ms. Thompson stated very clearly earlier, it's at the soul level. It's not, but in going for traditional therapy, they're dealing with it cognitively. And like she said, CBT, I know all of that stuff because I was teaching it. And people stay in therapy for decades, and they're just repeating. They're repeating patterns because you're in the same injury of the hurt.
And if you hear her, you can, like, if she's talking to us. I'm sorry, dear. What's your name?
She said Liz.
I'll say caller. As you hear her talking, her voice is cracking. Even in the moment of just thinking about it, she's emotional. That's the key. Okay, so you have the key now to the lock. Because just expressing it, you become emotional. You're almost tearing up, and I'm not even looking at you.
Yeah.
Because it's that power has been passing your soul. That's how deep it is. And it affects, if you were to keep a diary, you would see how it affects every part of your life, every decision that you make.
That's powerful. That's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And you heal it in layers. The mind is where this Western society has focused on. But in indigenous cultures, in African cultures, in Asian cultures, in Latin American cultures, that's not where they start the healing process. They start always with the soul. Mm-hmm. The mind is the last thing that they deal with. They don't deal with the mind because they know that it's an energy. And a soul, it's an affront to your energetic field and to your soul. They never start with the mind. But in the Western linear thinking world, that's how they train clinicians, and that's how they train everybody in the society to deal with things. And this society is falling apart. It isn't working. That's an old paradigm. It's not working. It isn't working. I have so many clients who are leaving the church. They're leaving all those traditional institutions because it's not working. It's not working.
But it's, you know, I'm glad that it's changing, because I have worked, like I said, I've worked in many different aspects of trauma. I've seen it at the darkest door at midnight, past midnight, and I've seen it, you know, in different cultures, races, socioeconomic levels. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Today I can say I'm grateful that I've had all that experience. When I was having those experiences, I wasn't grateful. Oh, no. I was like, oh, my God, what's happening? But now when I step into a room with a person who's just trying to take their life and I look into their eyes and there's nothing there but just dead, blank, emptiness. And by the time I leave out the room, that person's crying and thanking me. I sometimes tear up because I know that there's an energy, there's a power all over that room that's more stronger than me. And this is not something that was in my counseling book. You know what I'm saying? If I had to put it on a paper, I would have got an F. But I know it's real. You know? And so you can't, if you keep trying to heal people with things that were the introduction to the psychology of man and to the mind of man, so that's great. But to not be able to progress into the larger part of how the soul really is the core of the mind, to me that's dangerous. That's dangerous for society.
Mm-hmm.
People have to be able to be strong enough to, if you reach for something for so long and it still hasn't helped to alleviate or lift up some of that pressure off of you, it's not working. And if you try something else, it may seem foreign, but if it even taps into that core, there you go. Now you're where you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
Now you have a chance. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, caller. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yes, thank you for calling.
Thank you for sharing your story.
And good luck with the letter.
Yeah, and she's already successful. Thank you for calling. So, and for anyone who would like to see Ms. Thompson, Christina, give them your information if they would like to see you privately, and then if people would like to see me as well, I would give them my information.
Hold on. Let me. I want to give them the right email. I have to listen.
Well, Thompson's looking up her information. If anyone would like to experience the healing code, which is the system that she was alluding to that I have created that deals with the soul, my number is 770-882-7347. Again, my call-in number is 770-882-7347. And go online, Google me. Jamila, J-A-M-E-L-A, Professor Jamila Franklin, F-R-A-N-K-L-I-N, and it will take you to my website, which will give you a lot of information about the things that I do, my integrative practice, and it's all under the title called The Healing Code. My website hasn't been updated, but I'm going to update it and have everything under that title, The Healing Code. Okay? So we have another caller.
Okay, let me just, I have the information, so when that call is done, I'll
okay.
give you the information.
Okay, feel free to give your information.
Okay,
go ahead. Feel free, Christina, to give your information.
Okay, so my phone number is 470-202-5030. And
repeat
my
it again.
Address is
repeat your telephone number again.
470-202-5030.
Okay.
My email address is survivors, SURDIVORS, at organic, ORGANIC, lbtherapy.com. So that's
so
survivors.
Is it LB
organic,
like is it LB like in Bora,
yeah,
or
right.
LB like in Victory?
L like in Larry, B like in Boy.
Okay. Okay. And give
so
them
that's
your
survivors
name.
Survivors at organic. Christina Thompson.
Okay. So this is Christina Thompson, And she gave you her email address and her telephone number for those of you who are experiencing trauma specifically and you would like to talk with her. You would be in excellent hands. I've seen this woman work. Like I said, she was one of my students, and I am one of my energy medicine students. She took my classes in holistic health that I teach in my own private practice. I have a whole institute. And then she also took the classes that I taught at Argosy University, which was a four-year private school, no more than four, had a master's program and a PhD program too. And she was phenomenal. She went through the bachelor's program and the master's program, and she was one of the best students I had. So, okay, we have another caller. Your name, please?
Dee.
Greetings, Dee, one of my favorite callers. How are you?
Hello, Dee. I am fine, thank you. Greetings to both of you. First, I want to thank Ms. Thompson because I heard her once before, and one of the things she said that stuck with me was, as long as you can play with people's minds, you can distract them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in the code, because I've had it done, you begin to take responsibility. You start taking responsibility for yourself, and you can actually see when people are trying to manipulate you. But my question tonight is, going back to the ancestral or generational trauma, and we can call it PTSD or whatever, does the code heal that? Because I think a lot of times we carry not only our parents' trauma, but we also carry our grandparents' and their parents' trauma.
That's an excellent question. It definitely heals that. I've not seen anything like this. The basis for what I do, some of it is taken from the emotion code by Dr. Bradley Nelson. He did a phenomenal job in creating this over 30 years ago. But Spirit God has taken me further than his system. That's the reason why I don't say I just practice that exclusively. I call it emotional release and under the healing code, and Christina gave me the name for it. She said, what you do is the healing code. I said, yeah, that's true. So, yeah, it deals with the ancestors because that's something that has been taboo for most of us as African Americans because they Christianized us. And I'm not talking about the traditional African version of Christianity. I'm talking about the European version of Christianity, where it was made a sin for you to honor your ancestors. And I've told people, but you've been doing it all your life. If you have an album with your dead grandma, dead grandpa, dead relatives in it, you're honoring your ancestors. So now with the altars, you're just making it more formal, which is part of who we are. But we've been taught through racist Christianity in this country, not the pure version of it, but the racist version of it, that if you honor your ancestors, that's witchcraft. That's you're honoring the devil, and you don't do that. And I said that's completely crazy because in the Catholic Church they do it, and you can't go to a nail salon and not see an altar in Asian nail salons where they don't have an altar to the ancestors. Everyone does it. Black people in this country have been taught not to, and that's been the problem because we're disconnected. So what happens with the healing code, it goes all the way back to those ancestors who were not allowed to have a voice, who died. Just because someone crosses over, I don't call it death so much, but for people who don't use that term, just because someone has crossed over or died doesn't mean that that person died whole. They usually don't. Whatever pain and trauma they had here, they left with that. People who've gone to Gori Island over in West Africa, you know, like on the coast of Senegal and Ghana, they talk about when they go into that place where slaves were held before they were put on the slave ship to be taken to America and to other places, they could feel the souls of the people crying out to them. I know in Mississippi, when my mom was alive, I drove her to her home church, and we had to cross over this bridge that didn't have any rails, I had a panic attack. I could feel the souls of those people who were killed as slaves. I could feel it. I could hear them in my mind's ear. So they died with that trauma. So what happens is that we have that trauma. The children of those people, then that becomes a part of your energetic DNA. And so that's the reason why people would say, some people say, I don't know why I'm doing this, whatever I'm doing. I don't know why. It seems like something's taking me over. You have the energy of your ancestors. It's very much a part of who we are. And until we start understanding that, until we start honoring them, venerating them, and making them a part of our lives, the older people used to do that. You would see grandma sitting in the bedroom when grandpa died, and she's sitting up there talking to him. You know, when you're not around, she's sitting up there talking to his spirit. But we're so, as my mother used to say, citified. We've been taught away against our culture. But let me tell you, the people who told us that it was a sin or whatever, they practice the very thing they tell you not to do. So
yep, they're using our culture.
They're using it, just like Paula White, when she said she was calling on our ancestors, right? Calling on the angels
of
Africa.
Winning, and they're winning with it. They're using it, and they're winning with it. That's the thing.
So
they're
we have
winning
to now,
with our culture.
Yeah, and we have to understand that we have to come back home and understand the power we have. And it's not putting anybody else down because they see the value in it because they're using it. I'm telling you, I'm in those circles. I see them doing it. In terms of the Yoruba tradition, there are a lot of Caucasian Babalawos. As a matter of fact, Yana Van Zandt, who's on I Can Heal Your Life or whatever, Oprah show, she's a Yoruba priestess. Her Babalawo are a white male and a white female. Okay? So people have to understand that the things they're telling you are witchcraft and all that, they're up there studying it. So it's not. They wouldn't be studying it if it didn't have value and power. And we have to understand that. So when you cross over, yeah, they cross over with that energy, but the healing code would help heal that. It goes to the energy of everything that's off within you, within your ancestors, within the children who are yet to be born. It goes backwards. It goes with your siblings, and then it goes into the future. Because it's all energy. Energy is non-local. And it doesn't have time. It doesn't study time.
It's like, because I remember when I did my healing call with you, it was so surreal because I knew I was in the room, but I actually could see the clothing. I could see the type of dress that the woman that I was being, that I was traveling back to. I could see her poise and everything. And, you know, the things that you were telling me that the females in my family had been carrying, you know, all through all these generations. So, like I said, when this genre, when these two come together, it's going to be so powerful. It's going to be very powerful. It's coming together, but when it actually connects to where people are, like, you know, professing, okay, this actually happened. This actually feels different. You know, this I've been able to let go, and I've been able to heal and set their souls at ease. When that happens, that's going to be the phenomenal moment.
And it's going to be in traditional. The APA can't stop it. The AMA can't stop it because this is an energy revolution. So we have another caller. Thanks so much, Dee, as always. Okay, so continue to hold. Continue to hold. Okay, caller, I'm bringing you in 3183. Okay. Greetings.
Hello,
your name, please?
Hey, this is Preston.
Oh, okay. Hey, Preston, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I am listening to the broadcast.
Hello.
And both of you guys are so on point. I'm always concerned about, especially in our community, of the trauma that our people went through from slavery, post-slavery, Jim Crow, through civil rights, through all the way through the events that is still going on now. And so many years, things never really been addressed,
mm-hmm.
Or even addressed even individually. You know, now things are coming out more so, but and I'm always concerned about that. So we don't continue to generation
mm-hmm.
being stuck,
mm-hmm.
or just not can't come together as a people. You know, in the society, you know, and stand up together as a people. So I just want to just call and say you guys enjoy listening to the broadcast tonight, and you guys are just so much on point.
But Preston, I want
to tell you
guys, Preston was on about a month or so ago, and Preston is an Egungun mm-hmm. priest, which means he is an expert in telling us how to deal with the ancestors. But before we do that, Preston, let me just tell people, we're going to, people who are listening via the computer, we only have 5 minutes left, so you can join us on the board if you want to continue to listen, but it's, the computer will cut you off at 8 o'clock exactly. So feel free to call in at 1-818-572-8023. You don't have to ask a question, but if you want to hear us continue, call in at 1-818-572-8023 because it will shut you off at 8 o'clock. Okay, Preston, I just wanted to tell people what the work that you do in terms of honoring our ancestors.
Yeah. And I appreciate when I did the emotion code with you, and you brought out a lot of things about male ancestors that had some issues, things that were going on. And even though after, when I was crossing over being initiated, that same information came out, too, in my initiation process. And I see that mm-hmm. more so in my family, how the dynamic of men and women, as far as relationships, or the lack of a relationship or the relationships that they have is very toxic, you know. So so everything, just even just me going through the emotion code, your emotion code with you, everything was just so much on point, you know, and even helping me to heal of unconscious things that show up in my life that, maybe the way I looked at something, maybe the way I thought about something, maybe I feel about something, or maybe some things I didn't quite understand. A lot of times you see hidden things that show up and you don't quite understand why they keep showing and keep showing and keep showing up through the mm-hmm. years, until when you get with somebody, you know, that who works with something indigenous, let's get to the core and say, okay, this is what's coming out. You know, in a reading, this is what's coming out. Then it all start making sense, like, wow, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So I think what we're doing tonight, and Preston, just give them your number in case somebody wants to have an ancestral reading with you. So just give it. So this is Baba Preston Cook. So give them your number really
sure.
quickly.
It's 678. 988-3183-678-988-3183. You can text me at that number, and I'll be open to if anybody want an ancestor reading or just instruction how to set up your ancestor altar.
Mm-hmm. So let me just say, because it's going to shut up, so anyone would like to set up an appointment with me, like I said, my number is 770 Professor Franklin, Jamila Franklin, 770-882-7347, 770-882-7347, to experience the healing code, as we've been talking about, which includes the emotion code. Christina, give them your information again as well.
My phone number is 470-202-5030, and email address is survivors@organiclb.com.
Okay. Well, I thank everyone for listening, and we can continue the conversation, but for the people on a computer, know that you're loved more than you can ever, ever imagine, and we will be back next Wednesday, and we have another very, very important topic that we will discuss. So thank you very much, and I guess that's it. So enjoy the rest of your week and be safe and know that you are worthy of great treatment and not abuse. Namaste.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it